Hey, I'm Brady Gaster, and today I'm here to talk to you about something that I've talked to you about at this desk many other times. That is Microsoft Azure websites, one of my favorite things in Azure. It is my favorite thing in Azure, so that's probably why Javier and the rest of the crew picked me to come talk to you about this today. I have a couple of demos I want to walk through. You may have seen some of these, but I promise you that I have some surprises by the end and some new stuff that I'm going to show you that we're going to be putting out here pretty soon. And I don't mean the typical soon as in 6 months from now. I mean soon, like right around the corner. All right, so just go ahead and get started. I've got my portal open right here. You can see that I've already got the websites widget in the portal selected. And you'll see that I have a couple of things that are already running out in Azure. One of them is my blog. I run my blog out of Azure websites. And I actually use a tool called Miniblog that my buddy Mads Christensen wrote. And I'm currently trying to customize a little bit to be more Azure specific. And then you'll see that I have another thing out here called Site Monitor. Anybody who's followed my blog for a while knows about Site Monitor. It's kind of one of those toy apps that I like to build every single time we release a new wave of software. This particular one actually uses something I'll be talking about a little bit today called Web Jobs. Before I get to Web Jobs and some of the newer stuff that we're going to be doing, I want to go ahead and show you one of my favorite demos. Before I do, I want to make sure I don't have any published profiles, and apparently I do, so I'm going to go ahead and delete them, because I've already run this app a couple times just to test it out. Now, I call this particular demo Hello All Worlds, and it's one of the demos that I like to start out pretty much every website's talk with, and I'll just kind of walk through it and I'll show you what it looks like. So I've got a static HTML page right here, and if I open that guy up, you'll see that it just says pretty easily, hello from static HTML. Nothing really exciting. I'll go ahead and I'll open up this Razor file, and you'll see that up here I'm setting a message on the server side, and then I'm using Razor syntax to just write that message to the user. Again, nothing too exciting. If I go into my controllers folder right here, you'll see that I actually have a home controller, and I'm setting a view bag property equal to hello from MVC, and then I'll expand this guy, and you'll see here's my home index view. You'll see that I'm actually going to be writing that message out. And when I hit F5 on this, you'll see that it's actually going to load up just a list of links that I could show you. Down at the bottom of that list of links, I have some jQuery code. The reason I have that jQuery code is that I'm actually going to call it whenever I click this particular line right here, whenever I click this link. I'm actually going to reach out to the server and make a web API call. And I'm just going to call on the values controller. You can see I'm not really adding a whole bunch of code here. And I'm going to be sending back an array of strings. I'm just going to be saying hello and then from web API. So I'm just going to be kind of walking through all these different things. Now, what you also see in here is that I have a couple of files that I tend to not talk that much about. One of those is a JS file. If I open that up, you'll see that that is indeed a Node.js file. So I'm going to be running Node here. And just to be completely transparent, in my web config file, I've actually got a handler set up right here, so that I'm going to instantiate the IIS node handler whenever I run my site. So I do want to point that out. And I've also got a PHP file. And I'm just going to be echoing hello world from PHP. So I've got a couple different guys in there. And as usual, just to stay true to my upbringing, I've got an ASP file in here where I'm doing the same thing, just hello world from classic ASP. So I've got all that stuff dialed up, and what I'm going to do is I'm going to go back over to my portal real quickly, and you'll see that I only have two blogs or two sites out there right now. And I'm going to right-click this website, and I'm going to show you some handy tooling that if you're using VS and you have for some time and you've got the Web Tools extensions or the Azure SDK, you may have seen some of this stuff before. We'll be showing you some new stuff in here that we're going to be releasing right around the corner. But what I'm going to do first is I'm just going to go here and I'm going to select Publish. Well, this dialog is going to open up. And you can see that I have a couple of different published targets that I could go against. This talk is about Azure websites, so you'll see that I've got a Microsoft Azure website link right here. If I go ahead and click this guy, this thing is going to pop up. It's going to go ahead and see that I'm logged in. It's probably going to go ahead and prompt me one more time. I'm using a Franken build here, to be quite frank. So it's going to go out, pull down a list of all my different sites that I've got, and I've got a couple subscriptions, some of which are internal, so you may actually see quite a few websites load up in this menu. But I don't really want to, hit an existing site that I've already got. So I'm just going to go ahead and click this new button right here. And this thing's going to pop open. And I want to make sure that I select my MSDN subscription because all my demos are actually going to be run against my own personal MSDN subscription. So I'm going to call this new website Hello All Worlds, which I'll go ahead and type this in right here. And I'm going to select a region. I want to go ahead and do West US because that's where I am. Seems like that'll be the shortest hop. You'll see that this is green. It's already gone out to the website's API, which I'll be talking a little bit more about later on in the session. It's gone out and it's checked to see that there is not already a site out in Azure website. It's called Hello All World, so I can go ahead and create that one. I'll go ahead and click create right here, and that's going to go out to the fabric, create me a new website. It's also going to pull down my publish settings profile. That's going to be used by Visual Studio to actually do my publish up to the cloud. I'll go ahead and click next right here, and I'm going to go ahead and push this out in release mode. I'm good with that. And if I were to do a start preview right here, that's actually going to go ahead and do a solution build and show me all the different files that it's actually going to publish out to Azure websites whenever I actually do click the publish button. So see, there's everything. It's already pulled in all those individual guys. So I'll go ahead and click publish, and you'll see the console window open up. And if I were to open up the web publish activity window, you'll see that we're actually publishing this out to Azure right now. I'm going to go ahead and dial everything in, push out my DLLs, push out all my files. As soon as the site is actually deployed, it's going to pop up in my browser, and it's going to load up that MVC view. It's going to have a list of all the links that I'm going to go to. All right, so there we go. While that's loading, I'm going to take a sip. All right, there we go. So I've got a list of links here. I'm just going to click on these guys and show you that, indeed, we can serve static HTML from Azure websites. Probably shouldn't be a surprise. You can serve static HTML from your own computer if you want to. Click the Razor guy. You can see that we're going to have support for Razor built in. If I were to go ahead and click Web Form right here, that's going to load up a ASP.NET Web Form on the server side. I'm setting my label on the server. If I do Web API, that's actually going to go out, hit my Web API. It's going to pull back that list of strings, and I'm just going to say hello from Web API. You can see that that's actually working. Of course, classic ASP is going to work on the server. That's all good. If I click the node file, that's actually going to run the node directly up in the cloud. I'm going to be good to go. And then since it's all supported, it's going to load up the PHP site too. So what you can see here is that I've actually deployed a series of files out to Azure, all of which are going to be supported by Azure websites, because everything in Azure websites is supported pretty much node, PHP, Python. We'd be here for a little while if I had to write Python code, so I'm not going to get into that today. And you can see that I've got all this, I've got this new site listed right here. Since I've got this guy listed, I'm actually going to go into the site, and I'm going to show you one of my favorite features about it. Scott Hinsman did an interesting blog post on this a while back. I can't remember if he was blogging about his own blog or if he was talking about one of his podcasts. But one of the things he talked about was how he uses Git deployment, and I'll probably show you that demo in just a few minutes. He uses Git deployment so he'll commit all the code for his site, and he's got GitHub set up to publish directly to his Azure website. He's got a sync set up here, and I'll show you how to do that. But one of the things that he commented about was that he didn't ever want to put his database connection string into his config file because his source code repo up in GitHub is actually public. So if he were to put his connection string into his GitHub repo, anybody can see it. That's not exactly a good thing. So what Scott did was he actually took the connection string value out of his config file. Because if you scroll down here in the Configure tab inside of the Azure website portal, you'll see that you have the ability to actually set up your connection strings, and you also have the capability of setting up app settings in here. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to change this code around a little bit, and I'm going to make it pretty easy. I'm just going to close all my files real quickly, collapse all my stuff, and now I'm going to go directly into my, or if I can find it here, my web form. I'm going to open this guy up, and you'll see that, you know, pretty easily I have just a label, ASP.NET label right here. I want to go to my code, and you'll see that all I'm doing is I'm actually setting that up as, you know, just a static string. Not too exciting. So my boss comes to me and he says, Brady, you know, this is good. It's nice that you have a, you know, hello from a web form out there. But we'd really like to make that a configurable message because of the fact that we may want to change it later on. And since Azure has such an easy methodology of configuring app settings, we don't want to have to, you know, redeploy the code every single time. So what I want to do, so I'm just going to set this guy up. Let's say configuration manager. I'm basically going to make this site configurable here. And I'm just going to make this message. So I've gone ahead and just read this in from an app setting. In order to get that all work, I have to actually go over to my web config and add that app setting directly into my web config here. Add key, message, and I'll say value, hello from a web form. I'll go ahead and set that. And if I were to run this guy locally, it's actually going to say hello from a web form. It's not going to be that exciting. So what I'm going to do now is I'm going to do another publish here. I'm going to right click and I want to say publish. And what I want to point out whenever you do this publish dialog is we're not going to republish every single file, and we're not going to publish every single thing up to the server again. We're only going to have to publish the diff. So I want to click Start Preview, and what it's going to do is it's going to reach out to Azure, and it's going to say, give me a list of all the files that you've already got, and I'm going to compare those files to all the ones that we've got locally. And I'm going to figure out what I'm going to have to deploy and what I'm not going to have to deploy, most importantly. Now, one thing I want to show you that's kind of hidden in this dialog, I'm going to go ahead and select this web config file right here, and I'm going to double click that file. And what you'll see happen is that we're going to open this up in a preview changes window. You can actually do this from the Server Explorer too, but if you look right here, you'll see this is the version that's on the server, and this is the version that's on the client. And you can see that I've got the change right here on the client. So I know exactly what I'm going to be publishing in terms of my change for this particular file. So I'll go ahead and click publish right here. And that's just going to go back out one more time. I'm going to publish those three files, maybe four if it's pushing the DLL one more time. And there you go. You can see that that deployment took a heck of a lot less longer than the first one did. So this time I'm going to go ahead and click the web form one more time, and this thing is going to open up and it's going to read from the app setting, and you can see that indeed I'm saying hello from a web form. So I'm going to go back over to my portal in this other browser, and I'm going to make a new app setting here. Say hello from Microsoft Azure websites, and I'm going to go ahead and save that guy. And that's actually going to save that config. Now, what I want to point out, and I'll show you this again in just a minute, I'll make another change to the web config and we'll show you a diff. This is not actually going to change my live config file. There's kind of a fabric that sits on top of the config files inside of Azure websites so that if you change something in this particular area, it'll change it at that level. It won't change your file. So if you were to FTP all your files back down, they'll be just as you expected them to be. The idea behind that is this sits on top of that, and this is sort of a layer above it, and we don't change your, you know, we don't change your code, because that'd be bad. So if I go back over to the site and I hit F5 right here, what you should see is a new message that's going to come in. All right. Any second now. That should come right back in. I have to spin the site back up again. Pardon. Maybe. Uh-oh. Maybe the demo gods are going to be bad to me, or maybe the internet connection is going out. Who knows? Hello from web forum. Still loading. Go back over to this guy. Oh, try that one more time. There you go. Hello from Microsoft Azure website. So you can see that I've actually gone ahead and made that config change and everything has been good to go. Now, one other feature that I'm going to show here is I'm just going to say, change this one more time. Hello from the production site. So I'll just click save one more time. And what I'll show you is a brand new feature that we've actually got in there. It's not brand new, but it's been around for just a little while. When I was doing a lot of talks on Azure websites in the very beginning, this was a feature that a lot of people were asking for. They were saying, Brady, this is great. I don't really like making changes in my production site. I'd really like to have, you know, kind of a second environment or a second site that I could actually make changes to, make sure that everything is money, and then, you know, go from there. So what I want to do at this point is I'm going to scroll back up to the very top, and I'm going to go over here to the dashboard, and I want to show you this new idea that we have around swaps. So you can see here that I've got add a new deployment slot listed right here, and that's in preview still, but it works pretty well for, you know, being in preview, like everything else that goes out in preview in Azure for a little while. Now, it says I'm going to need to be in standard mode to enable stage publishing. So I'm going to go back over here to my scale tab, and this is actually, you know, kind of a by design error. What I want to show you is that this scale tab is going to give you the ability to kind of scale your site not only horizontally but vertically. So the first step is going to be I'm going to switch this from free mode to standard mode, and what that's going to do is it's going to give me my own instance. I've got a question. Let me go ahead and ask this. Brady, when do we get this deployment options for web roles? I believe you already have the deployment slots for production and staging for web roles and for worker roles. I think that's already a part of the cloud services fabric, so I believe that's already out there. If what you're asking for is being able to publish, to do right-click publish from a website directly into a web role, I'd have to talk to the cloud tools team about that. I don't think that that's going to be coming. I think that this is really only for websites. We already have a cloud service deployment mechanism built right into the cloud service tooling so that you can make a web role, make a worker role, or make one cloud service and put one of each in there, and then you can actually right-click and do a publish against the cloud service, and that'll actually go on out. But in terms of the right-click publish to go directly to a web role, that's something that we've talked about. It's currently not in the cards. If that's something that you feel like you'd like to have, go out to UserVoice, azure.uservoice.com. maybe Microsoft Azure.uservoice.com. I'm not exactly sure which one. We can find it in a moment. You go out there and you just go ahead and submit that as a topic, and we'll see what we can do. There's also a Visual Studio user voice that you could go out to, and you could submit feedback and ask us for that, and you know, get people to vote it up, and then we'll go from there. But you already have the deployment methodology inside of the cloud service project to deploy to the cloud service fabric. We're giving you this to be able to deploy to websites or to your own server that has WebDeploy running on it, or to a VM running up in Windows Azure that has a WebDeploy running on it as well. So I'm gonna go ahead and scroll down here as I'm making that guy standard, and I'll go ahead and click save. And what that's gonna do is that's gonna basically change it from being, you know, my website running in a isolated shared mode instance to running in my own instance. I'm really gonna have my own, you know, website stamp, my own instance running with only my site on it. And now that I've done that, if I know that I've got a sale coming up, or if I know that I'm going to have a traffic spike and I don't want my performance to kind of go down at all, what I can do is I can go over here to this instance running, and you'll see that I have one instance running, and I could scroll that out to 10. So I could actually instantaneously go from having one instance running my site to having a full-on farm running my site across 10 instances if I want to. Scroll that back down because I'm not going to do that right now. So we'll go back over here real quick and make sure that everything is money. And if I go back over to my dashboard, now that I've got that set up as a standard instance, now I can go down here and I can click on this add new deployment slot. And I'll click that guy, and now it's going to say, well, what do you want to call it? What do you want to call your deployment slot? I'll just call it staging for now. And you'll see I also have the option, I can clone my configuration from an existing slot, and I select which slot that is. And I'm going to go ahead and do that because I want my app setting to be retained in that new slot. So I'll go ahead and click OK right here. And effectively what's going to happen is we're going to do kind of what you would expect. We're going to create a second site. We're going to copy everything over to it, copy the configuration, then everything should be good to go. Just to make sure I'm saying that right. What I'm going to do is I'm going to expand this guy, and you'll see now that I actually have a drop down right here. And if I click on my staging guy and I click browse, should see the same thing that we saw on the production site. We're not going to, so what I'm going to have to do is I'm actually going to have to deploy that site back out there again. So I'll right click this guy one more time. I'll do publish. And this time I'm going to go over here to my profile, do Microsoft Azure websites. This thing is going to spin one more time. And when I select the drop-down menu, what I'm going to see is I'm going to have Hello All Worlds. And then I'm going to have Hello All Worlds, and I believe in parentheses we'll see the word staging. And that basically flags that as my staging slot for the site that I've already got set up as my production site. You can do that either direction if you want to. You don't have to call it staging. You can call it pretty much whatever you want. Go ahead and select this guy right here. We're good to go. I'll just do next. I'll just go ahead and publish this guy out. What we're going to do is we're going to publish the same code that we've already got right back out to our staging slot. So now we're going to have two copies of that same site, and they're going to light up as kind of one site directly inside the portal. And next we'll go into VS, and we'll actually show you how to make some changes to the settings. Let that guy publish out real quick. There we go. Now if I were to go here, and you'll see that this is the staging URL. If I were to go back over to this guy, you can see that I've got two URLs. This one is really my production URL, and this one's going to be my staging URL. Now, if I were to click on this web form guy right here, you'll see that it's probably still going to say hello from the production site. We don't want that because this is the staging site. So what I want to do is I want to edit my configuration, my app settings. I want to do that inside of the staging slot, not the production slot, and change this message so that it says hello from the staging site. Idea behind that is our QA could actually go out and make sure the staging site looks good, give us a rubber stamp of approval, and then we could actually do the swap. All right. To do that, I'm going to go in here to Server Explorer. I'm going to expand my Azure node. I'm going to expand my websites node. I may have to log in because I logged out to do this demo just a little while ago. You're going to see all my sites kind of load up here in the Server Explorer tab. Pardon me. My wonderful blueberry pomegranate energy drink. There we go. Now I've got all this stuff set up. Now you'll see that I have my Hello All Worlds site, which is my production site, and I've also got my Hello All Worlds, which is my staging site. I want to show you this nice feature that one of our teams have done, one of my favorite teams, team on which I work, Web Tools team. I want to right click this and I want to say View Settings. And what you'll see in this guy is that I could actually go directly into this particular tab, and I don't have to even go to the portal. I can actually change this directly right here. So in this guy, I'm going to say Hello from the staging site. And I'll click save. You'll see that that's going to go back up to the fabric and save it. Just to be safe, I'm actually going to go here and I'm going to click restart. So you can actually stop your site, start your site. You can click this link and you can go directly to your management portal if you want to. I don't need to do all that because I know that this has just gotten saved out. So I'm going to go over here and I'm going to hit refresh, and this should say hello from the staging site. There you go. So now I've got one site set up that's my staging site. I've got one site set up that's my production site, and QA has come along and they've said, this is okay. It's a relatively contrived example because we would never want the production site to say, welcome to the staging site. But what I want to show you is this great feature that the website's team has implemented here, where we've actually got the ability to do a swap. So I've got this guy selected, and I can go down here and I can select swap. So I'll click swap here. You'll see that I'm going to switch Hello World Staging to Hello World. I'll go ahead and click this guy. I've got one more question. A question from Ben. Brady, is it possible or when will cloud services such as web roles have the capability to store keys outside the actual source controlled files like you showed for websites? I could swear that that support is already enabled. I could swear that we'd be able to do that. Maybe we can't. Maybe you have to go to the cloud service level and actually do the configuration there. I have to say that I don't know, but I do work pretty closely with my buddy Dan Fernandez on the cloud tools team. So I can actually follow up with him and find out if that's ever in the cards. Again, if you think that that's a valuable feature, I would highly recommend that you go either to Visual Studio User Voice or the Azure User Voice and make that an ask, and we'll see what we can get, see how many votes we can get on it. Tell your friends, tell your family, have them vote it up, and then we'll go from there. But I just don't know at this point. I don't know if that's actually in the release plans right now. So, but what I can do real quickly is I'll go back over to this site, and this is my staging site. And remember, I've already done the swap. And you'll see that if I hit F5 on these guys, the production site is going to say hello staging site. And the staging site is actually going to say hello production. So this is going to give you the ability to kind of do an A-B test or to test all your stuff in a staging site. And then you could do a swap and you could go whenever QA signs off on it and gives you a stamp of approval. I can't see the second question. So if you could delete the first question, I'll go ahead and answer John's question on the second question there. So, all right. So moving right along, I think the second question from John is, can I use ASP.NET vNext and Azure Websites? We are working on that. That is actually a very big feature. I've already started talking to Mr. Fowler and Mr. Hashimi about that. And publishing out to that is going to be something that we do want to support. Obviously, that's going to be kind of a big win for us. So we want to make sure that you've got support for that. If it's not already there today, I believe that we have done some prototypes. I believe those prototypes might have been done in a dog food environment or in an internal environment just to make sure that everything is good. If it's not out there yet, I'm pretty sure that it will be because that's one of our goals is to be able to make it easier for you to push vNext projects up to Azure websites. So by the time that's no longer in preview, yeah, you should have that ability. I can't imagine that we would not want to do that. So we definitely want to enable you in that area, John. Thanks for the question. Okay, all right, so I'm gonna move right along real quick. And what I wanna show you next is that we have this ability for you to be able to do logging. You could actually turn on logging however you want to. I'll go ahead and turn on logging. I don't wanna do that in my staging site, so I'll turn that off right there. And I wanna go directly into this guy one more time, and I wanna open up my files. And I do want to show you that if you expand this files node inside of the Server Explorer, you would actually have the ability to see all the individual files that you've got in your website just right here. And if I wanted to, if I'm feeling brave, I could go out here to my static site or my static page. I could say hello from static HTML. And I could say, I could go ahead and do an italic right here. And I could say this page was edited manually. Okay. Oh, I don't want to do that. I'm going to spell it right. And this is we're going to warn you. We're going to say, hey, you're getting ready to save this file directly out to your website. Are you sure this is something that you want to do? I'm okay with that. I'm confident that my code doesn't have any errors. So I'm going to go ahead and click that guy, and we're going to be okay. And I'm going to right-click this guy, and I'm going to say View in Browser. You can go directly to your site browsing in IE or Chrome directly from the Server Explorer. You can see if I load that guy up. You can see now that my cache is blown away, you can see that this page was edited manually. So I actually went into the files list and I edited the file right there in my Server Explorer and just pushed it right back out and everything is good. So if you have kind of an emergency and you need to tweak some code in production, not a recommended practice, but if you need to do that, you can do that. If I start giggling, it's because Corey Fowler's right outside the room making faces at me. So you'll have to forgive me for a moment. All right. If you've ever watched webcams, then you know the history of Corey and I making one another laugh. You're probably very familiar with it. So I want to go back over here to the Server Explorer, and I want to open this log files guy up real quick, and I don't think I've enabled logging, so you may not see a whole bunch. No, you don't. You don't see anything there. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to do view settings one more time, and I'm going to go out here, and I'm going to get my website information. I'm going to enable the logging. I'm going to turn basically everything on. So I'm going to go ahead and turn all this stuff on, save this stuff. And now what I'm going to do is I'm actually going to go ahead and I'm going to turn on remote debugging, and I'm going to show you that stuff here as well. So I've got all that stuff turned on. I'm going to go ahead and restart my site just to be super, super safe. Once that's done, I'm actually going to click this guy one more time. And I'm going to say View in Browser. I'm just going to click around a little bit and just generate some traffic. And I'm probably going to generate a couple of errors as well on purpose. So I'll go webform1.aspx. Once that guy loads up, I'm actually going to go here and I'm going to say webform1, which I know is a bad page. I'll go ahead and I'll hit, you know, webform2, which we also know is going to 404. I could pull up my node file one more time. And really what I'm trying to do is just generate a little bit of traffic. So we're good to go. Click on, that's not really going to generate any server-side traffic. I'll load up my Razor view. And I'm going to go back over here to my files guy. I'm going to go to log files and do a refresh. And what you'll see in here is that we have a bunch of new folders. And this is going to show you, if I were to expand this guy, what you should see in here is going to be my raw HTTP logs. So I could actually open those raw logs directly inside of VS if I wanted to, and I could take a look at the traffic and how it's behaving, or in some cases not behaving. So I could see all that stuff. What's really nice about this is that we also give you this ability in this detailed errors folder, if I expand this guy. Since I've generated a few errors, what we're going to do is we're going to have a couple of different error pages. And if I were to open one of these, that's actually going to be the HTML, you know, content of the error message that I saw when I tried to hit those 404s. So you can see that we're actually going to be storing that stuff. And I think they roll it at something like 50 files and they start deleting. So it's not going to fill up your site. Don't worry about that. We'll start deleting it at some point. So if I expand this one, I'm trying to find actual, there we go. So you'll see that we also have these XML files inside of this folder. These XML files are actually very detailed trace logs of the entire, you know, activity on the server side. So if you have trace logs, you can actually see those pop up in these XML files. These XML files are pretty massive and they're pretty hard to read just by opening the XML up raw in a text editor. So what we've done is we've given you this handy XSL file that will actually format those XML files. So before this feature actually existed in Studio, what you'd have to do would be to FTP out to your site. You have to FTP out to your site. You have to pull down the XML file. Then you have to pull down the XSL file. You drag your XML file over to the browser, and you know, you get a pretty style. But if you double-click the XML file and just open it up, it's not really that pretty. So what Syed and the rest of my awesome team have done is they've said, hey, if we see a folder with a whole bunch of XML files in it, and there's one XSL file in that folder, I'm going to make a pretty logical assumption. And what I'm going to do is I'm going to pull down that XSL file first. And when you pull down those XML files, I'm just going to assume, hey, I probably ought to use this XSL file to format this XML file so that when he double clicks on that XML file, we'll just show him something that actually makes sense. I'm just going to double click this XML file and you'll probably see that actually take effect. In the background, we're going to download the XSL, then I'm going to download the XML. I'm going to apply the XSL to the XML. It's going to open up in my browser directly inside of Studio and everything should be lit up nice and pretty. These XML files can get large. So, and apparently Building 20 is flooded today. So you can see right here, we've already done all that formatting for you. You didn't have to worry about that. I can party on this. I can take a look. I can see the compact view if I want to. I can actually look at the request details and I can see far more information than I ever had before just by double-clicking one of the log files directly from within Visual Studio. Can't make it any easier than that. Speaking of easy, I'm going to go ahead and close down VS right now. I'm going to open this guy back up. I've got my portal open right here. Now what I'm going to do is I'm going to pull open this Contacts Manager site. This is a site that has pretty much a pretty simple database directly right here. And this is actually running a local version of SQL on my machine. You'll see that the data connection is going to pop open right here. Now what I'm going to show you, pretty simply, I'm not going to walk through all the awesome stuff that Rowan just showed you on EF, but I'm just going to pretend that you are watching most of Rowan's talk and you've already learned about EF migrations and how awesome they are. They're fantastic things. So what I'll show you is that I have a pretty simple domain object in this particular app. I've just got one object right here called person. And I've gone ahead and I've dialed in a new DB context for that person object right here. And you can see that I'm actually going to load up my connection string directly from my config file. This is going to be the name of my connection string. And I've got a DB set right here that's going to give me, you know, the list of people that I've got. Now, I've also gone ahead and used scaffolding, which I don't know if you're going to see today. You've probably already seen this. We have a couple great presenters on this topic. But what I could do here is I could say add new controller. This is what I did, actually. And I select this guy, and I click Add, and then I actually went in, I selected the person object that I wanted, and I also selected the person DB contacts, and that's going to actually go ahead and create my, you know, it's going to scaffold out a controller and all the views associated with it. Well, I've already done that stuff, so I'll just show you right here. Here's my MVC controller with all this goodness in it. Now, I currently don't have a Contacts Manager app out here in my portal. So what I'm gonna need to do is I'm gonna go ahead and deploy this guy out. So what I'll do here, refresh my portal. I'm gonna make sure that I don't have any, you know, deployment files, which I don't, you can see right there. I'm gonna right click my website. I'm gonna select publish here. And again, I'm gonna select Microsoft Azure Websites. This thing is gonna spin for a second. I know that I don't need to, you know, hit an existing site. Again, I wanna use my MSDN guy. So in this guy, I'm just gonna, you know, call this site, I'll call it People Manager. It's probably already a People Manager. Oh, I won that one. I wanna publish it into West US. And this time I actually wanna create a SQL database running up in the cloud. And I want to publish all my EF stuff out to that SQL database so that it's all running okay. So what I wanna do here is I wanna create a new server. I'm just gonna come up with a really super secure username and password, SQL. I'll click create. Oh, that's gonna go out to the fabric one more time. It's gonna create my Azure website for me. Then it's gonna create a brand new a SQL server up in the cloud. And it's gonna create a new database on that SQL server for me in which I can actually run my EF migrations. It's gonna download my published profile settings and everything's gonna be in there that I need. I'll click next right here. And what you'll see in this publish dialog is we've made it absurdly easy for you to run your EF migrations on your brand new database running up in the cloud just by checking this handy box right here that's labeled Execute Code First Migrations. Obviously, you're gonna have to go through what Rowan showed you to enable EF migrations using the NuGet command prompt within VS to get this to work. But after you've already done what Rowan showed you how to do, you can do this. You can actually publish it out pretty easily. I'll click next one more time. I'm not gonna start the preview. You can see that my connection string is right here. Everything is good. What you did not see me do at any point in that whole exercise was to go into a config file or go to the portal, copy my connection string, and then paste it into my config. Likewise, I don't really even have to go out to the portal and set that, but if I wanted to, I could. If I was taking this code and I was actually committing it somewhere to, you know, GitHub, I could probably just, you know, blank out my database connection string, put my code into a, you know, open repo somewhere, and whenever I make changes to it, the portal's gonna trump. So if I have my connection string set up in the portal, my connection string in my web config file could be completely empty and it's still gonna know how to find the database. So that's actually gonna publish my site out to the cloud for me. Pardon me. You should hear the peanut gallery right through that wall. They're having way too much fun. So, at my expense, no less. Uh-oh. So apparently I have a file that has not been published out properly. So apparently the gods are gonna be a little mean to me today on this one. But what you should see there is that when that guy actually hits the cloud, what's going to happen is it's going to scaffold that database for me using EF migrations, and it's gonna show me a GUI that I could actually use to edit my people. So apologies for that. Apparently I've not done something right here. I do publish. Got a good question on the screen right now. I'll try and answer in just a moment once I can figure out what's going on right here. Trying to figure out this demo for about 2 more minutes. We'll do this again, see what happens. I've got a question from Dale. Is it possible to use a different connection string for a staging site? Absolutely, I could totally do that. I could go out and I could click on my staging site, go to the configure tab, make my connection string in that guy, completely different database, so I could have, there we go, so we're good. I just, for some reason, didn't push up a file. So I'll do create new real quick. Do-do-do. And I'll, you know, start with the Scotts. I'll go in order. Go ahead and do a Scott right there. So you can see that I'm actually saving data directly out into my brand new guy out there. And you can see somebody else is already doing it. Thank you for helping with my demo. So you can see they're actually putting data out there. And just so you guys don't, you know, blow my MSDN credits, I'll go ahead over here and I will select this site and I'll stop it. All right. But to answer your question, Dale, yes, you can indeed go out there and you can edit stuff, you know, manually in the configuration tab, and you can have two sites, two databases, and you can party on it. Real quickly, what I want to show you that you can also do out there that I've been a big fan of for quite some time is that if I go out to this configure tab, trying to figure out if I'll have time to show you this or not, or more importantly, have battery life. Our battery life is looking good. If I scroll down here, what you'll also see in the configure tab, if I'd enabled Git, which I probably did not do. Yeah, I didn't do that. What you would see in here if you'd enabled Git publishing is that it would actually ask me for which branch I wanted to deploy from in a Git repo. So I'll go ahead and show you that. It's a lot more fun to actually show you that stuff. Because Dale asked a good question, I want to honor his question by, you know, showing a quick demo. So what I want to do real quickly is I want to open up a new browser window right here. I'm gonna go to github.com and I'm gonna need to log in. And what I wanna show you real quickly is how you can synchronize your Azure website with a GitHub or Dropbox or something like that. I'm actually gonna show you with GitHub today. So I'm gonna click sign in. So I've already got a GitHub account. All right, don't do that. It's not a good idea. Yay, two-factor. It's inconvenient, but it definitely protects you. All right, so I'm gonna have to type verify, make sure that I'm good to go. So now I'm good. I'm already logged in. So what I'm gonna do real quickly is I'm gonna do a new repo, and we're gonna call this guy GitHub Publish Demo, and I'll click on Create Repository right here. And that's actually gonna go ahead and make my brand new GitHub repository for me. And now what I'll do is I'll copy this guy out. I'll do it manually. And I'm kind of a big PowerShell fan, so I'll use this fantastic GitHub client that plugs right into PowerShell called PoshGit. So I'm gonna say git clone, paste this guy in, git publish demo right here. It's not gonna have anything in it. So I'm just gonna cd into that guy, git publish demo. I'm gonna go ahead and do an explorer right here. And what I wanna do is I wanna open up VS one more time. I wanna copy out the path to this particular site. And I'll just do file, new file. I wanna make a new HTML page right here. And I kinda wanna show Dale's sample off right here. So what I'm gonna do is I'm gonna say hello from my production site. And I'll just save this guy real quickly. I'm gonna go to that folder and I'll call this guy default.html and I'll save it right here. I wanna go back over. You can see that I have one file that I need to add. And I'll do git commit m initial create. And I'm not gonna do a push yet. I'm not gonna do a push yet. I'm gonna wait to do a push. So I'm gonna go ahead and shrink down all my browsers and I'm gonna go over here to my new website. And I'm gonna say new, compute, website, quick create. I'll say GitHub publish demo. There we go. I'll put that into North Central. I'll go ahead and click OK. And that's gonna go ahead and spin up a brand new website for me. And I'm gonna show you that we have a couple of different source control mechanisms that you can actually set up a synchronization between and you can actually party on. I'll just go ahead and click this guy. And the way you do that, you go right down here in the portal. And I'm going to zoom in and you'll see that I've got this one guy labeled right here, set up deployment from source control. Now this was the first feature that I ever saw from the websites team that made me kind of realize this was going to be the next, hot buttery love in Azure. I got really excited when I saw it. So what I'm going to show you is that I can select GitHub right here, click next. Hopefully I won't have to do a two-factor again. So I'm already logged in. So it's going to go out and it's going to actually look at my list of repositories. You'll see that I'm going to be deploying from master. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to scroll down and you'll see that I've got this GitHub published demo guy right here and I'll click OK. And what you'll see in this message once the dashboard's finished setting up the sync between these two is it's going to say, hey, I'm ready to go. As soon as you publish some code up into your GitHub repository, I'm actually going to go ahead and do a deployment for it. So we've already got that set up. We've got our GitHub repo right here and I'm ready to do a push right here. So I'm going to go ahead and do git push origin master. I'm going to push that up into my GitHub repository, but I'm not going to wait for the command line to close before I do. I'll go ahead and click this guy. Once that push starts to happen, I want to switch back over here to the portal. 3, 2, 1, go. So you'll see that as soon as I push that code back up into GitHub, it's going to go ahead and say, hey, I've already got code out here that you need to party on. So I'm going to click browse right here. Okay. I've got a question from Ben. Hi, when can we choose branch from TFS and not just Git so we can have multiple from the same source like available with Git? You actually can. It's a little bit of a longer demo. I think Corey and I have a couple of videos where we've done that in this very studio. If you go back into the webcam's archives, you'll probably be able to find something where we've done that. It's not as simple as pushing to a, an individual branch. Actually, you have to go into the TFS repo, say create branch from an existing folder, make a new branch, and then you have to manually set up the publish profile that you're going to be. Actually, you don't have to set up the publish profile. And each one of those branches in the build definition, you have to specify which solution is going to be built. So since you've got your your tree view and you've got the the root, and then under the root you've got branch A and branch B, you would actually select the solution in branch B, associate that particular branch with the site, and you can party on it. It's not as simple as it is with the Git story, but I know the TFS team is actually working on making that a lot more robust, and they're going to be there really soon. So I would keep tabs on that. So keep looking at that. So you can see that I've got hello for my production site right here. And in my Git repository, if I refresh this guy, you'll see that there's my default.html. So what I'm going to do, what I was trying to show you with Dale's question, which was basically, I believe the question was, if I have two different sites, can I actually set up the configuration two different times? And yes, you can indeed do that. So I'm going to set up another slot right here. We've already done that, so I'm not going to do that slowly. I'm going to call this guy staging. And this time I'm going to say, don't clone configuration from an existing slot. I'm just going to leave it alone. I'm going to click OK right there, and that's going to go out. Now, if I were to open up that GitHub published demo guy, and I go over here to my configure tab, since I've enabled Git publishing, what you're going to see in this guy, if I scroll way down in here, see that I've got this guy right here labeled branch to deploy. You'll see that I have that set up as master. So that makes sense because that's going to be my production site. Whenever I, PR back to myself and I have code that lands in master, I pretty much want that to go out to my production site. So I'm going to do that. But what I can also do is I can go into my slot that I just created, my staging slot that I just created. I'll select this guy. I'm probably going to have to set this up again. Probably going to set up the Git publishing one more time. So I'm going to set up deployment from source control since I didn't copy my configuration over deliberately. I'm going to click OK right here. I'm going to select my repo one more time. If I can go to GitHub publish demo. And this time I'm actually going to change this guy and I'm going to call the branch staging. So I'll click OK right here. Now, we won't see a deployment happen because I don't have a staging branch in GitHub yet. I'm going to create that here in a moment. And once I publish it up, you'll actually see that deployment happen. So you see that this probably won't light up yet. So what I'm going to do is go to my Git client one more time. I'm going to say Git branch staging. Then I'll say Git checkout staging. See, now that I'm on my staging branch, I'm good to go. I'm going to go to this guy and I'm going to say staging. Do a clear, git add blah, git commit m, set up staging area. And I'll say git push origin staging, and that'll push it up to my staging branch. We should be ready to pop. So if I go back over here to the portal, what you'll see is that my GitHub published demo staging slot should go ahead and see that I've deployed code into my staging environment, my staging branch. If I could browse right here, this should say, hello from the staging site. So we should be good to go. Hello from my staging site. We're ready to pop. So that's good stuff. Okay, one other thing that I want to show you is not specifically a Azure website specific thing, but it's kind of an Azure wide thing. And that's something that my other team has worked on. I work both in the web tooling team with my buddy Syed and a lot of other friends. And I also work on the Azure SDK side. And one of the things that my team has recently put out is this thing called the Microsoft Azure Management Libraries, what we call MAML. We call it that because it's not a fish. All right. So what I want to do is I'm going to show you one of the things that we've enabled through the management libraries. And that's this idea of being able to dynamically create your environment up in the cloud while you need it for testing. So I'm going to go ahead over here and I'm going to walk through this code kind of quickly because we don't have a lot of time left together. But what I want to show you first is the site creation tests guy. And I'm going to kill all the breakpoints because we're not going to step through this code slowly. And what you'll see is that I have a couple of variables here in my tests. In my setup guy, I'm actually going to set the website path. And I've got this site creator class, which is right over here, that's going to open up. And I'm going to pass it that path so that the site creator actually knows where to get my website files from. And it's actually going to pull this stuff right here. What I've got in this particular project is really just a sample data layer project, and it's got a storage helper. And the storage helper's purpose is to actually read a couple of elements from Azure tables. So what I'm going to do is in my Azure table guy, I've got an object called website message configuration, And I've got a, you know, a version of that for the table entity, and it's got a welcome message and a description. And then in my storage helper class, I'm actually going to pass it a connection string. I'm going to connect to my Azure table, and I'm going to, you know, get or save some data. So I've got two different methods inside of this guy, save configuration and get configuration. One of them is going to read from the Azure table. The other one is going to set stuff into that Azure table. Not that complicated. It's probably what you would do in a, you know, database environment as well. So what's going to happen is when this test starts up and that setup method, I'm actually going to go out and using the Microsoft Azure Management Libraries, I'm going to create a new website. Then I'm going to create a new storage account. Then I'm going to save data to that storage account. Then I'm going to get the configuration for that website, and I'm going to get the connection string for that storage account, and I'm going to save that connection string for that storage account directly into that website's web config settings. And what that's going to do is it's going to dial those two things in. Now think about in your own environment, when you want to write an integration test, you want to make sure that your website talks to your database, that your configuration is working right. You just want to see some sample data to make sure that it's working. Well, that's what you can do using the management libraries. You can see what I do is I'm going to be logging in through AAD. I'm going to be newing up an instance of my website management client. I'm going to be creating a random name for it. I'm going to go out and I'm going to look at the list of regions because there's one region that I want to publish into. Pardon the pad on the mic there. Sorry, people. I'm going to create a new website, and that's going to be a randomly named website. Then I'm actually going to go out and I'm going to get the published profile for that website. Once I get that, I'm going to use a handy little snippet of code that my buddy Yugang wrote me. That's actually going to use MS Deploy, Web Deploy, to actually publish that file or that folder directly out to a website, just, you know, using .NET. So I'm actually going to do exactly what Visual Studio does using Web Deploy, but I'm going to be doing it from .NET. So I'm just going to push it right out there. Once that's done, this line of code is going to run, and it's going to create a brand new storage account for me. Once I've got the storage account created, this line of code is going to run, and I'm actually going to get the storage account connection keys. Once I get those keys back, I'm going to dynamically build my storage account connection string, save some data to that storage account. I'm going to get the configuration for my website. Then I'm going to save an app setting into that website. I'm going to update the configuration stuff, and everything should be ready to go. I don't need all this stuff, so I'm actually going to leave all of that alone for now. I'll leave all that stuff alone because I don't want to, you know, change any of my default documents. Now, what's most important about this is that in the dispose method, I'm going to do this in reverse. I'm actually going to go out and I'm going to get that website that I just created, then I'm going to delete it. Then I'm going to delete that storage account. So I'm only paying for my testing environment for as long as it takes for my integration test to run. Think of the money you could save if you were running your entire dev test scenario for your websites up in Azure versus having a room with a bunch of servers in it just sitting around waiting for you to deploy code to it just to test it out. You've got automated tests running. You don't really need that environment sitting around. You can just create it, run it, delete it, and you're good to go. So I've got all this wrapped up in a web an MS test. So I'm just going to click Run Selected Tests. Oh, and that's going to go out. And through the magic of MAML, it's actually going to create that site. See this little dialog pop up, and it just logged me in through AAD. It's going to create the site, create the storage account, glue the stuff together, and everything is going to be ready to go. While that's running, it's going to take about 1 minute for that test to run because the, you know, creation of the storage account has to resolve DNS. Might take us just a second. I'm going to go ahead and I'm going to tee up my next demo. And my next demo is actually going to focus on something that you may or may not have heard about so far called web jobs. And I want to explain what web jobs is and where it lives. And I want to make sure that that test is running so you can see it over here in the background. So I'm going to go out here to my site list. Hopefully that test will pass, not make a liar out of me. And I'll go ahead and click on the Hello All Worlds guy. And I'm going to click on this web jobs tab right here. And what you're going to see is that you have the capability using the portal to create a new web job. Now, what is a web job? Come up with a pretty good example for you. Let's say you want to send messages into a message queue, and you want to have a background process that reads messages off that message queue and, you know, processes those messages outside the context of your website, because that processing might take 5 or 7 minutes. So you don't want your user to be sitting there, and you can see that our test has passed. So you can see that there's no other websites right here. The website is gone. That test just destroyed that entire environment as soon as the test was run. If you want this code, let me know. I'll hook you up with it. So you see that I can actually add a job right here. So I could click this guy, and you'll see that web jobs have three different modes. I could do run continuously, run on a schedule, or run on demand. And the way the portal works, I actually have to click this browse for file button, and that'll actually give me, you know, it'll point me to an, you know, individual zip file. I'll select a zip file, It uploads it and it'll put it directly into my, you know, Azure website as a web job, and it'll be an executable that'll be sitting there running whenever I want it to, or on a schedule if I wanted to schedule it. Up until very recently, the only way that you could accomplish that was to go through the portal or to use something like what I've done over here and to do this using the management libraries. We wanted to make that a little bit easier for you, so in the next update of Visual Studio, we're going to do exactly that thing. Before I show you that particular demo, I'm going to go ahead and open up my buddy Pranav's code that he gave me right before this. Thanks for the code. I'm just going to go ahead and click on this Web Jobs SMS. And what I want to do is kind of highlight some of the pieces of the actual Web Jobs SDK just to show you what it looks like. Rather than have to learn, you know, the entire, you know, Azure Storage stack, nothing wrong with it, it's a great stack, but if you just want to get up and running quickly and you just have a small little process that you want to run all the time, a spinning app or a scheduled app or something that you use Run App for, you could actually do that directly inside of your web job itself. You can see that this guy, I've actually enabled the Web Jobs SDK, which is currently in beta. And this method right here, the Hello World function, you'll see that it takes a Q trigger, that this input text guy is decorated with a Q trigger attribute, and it's taking a parameter called .NET Conf. Now what's happening is, as soon as this app spins up, it's going to start watching the .NET Conf queue, and if the .NET Conf queue isn't there, it's actually going to create it and then start watching it. And in my MVC code, I'm actually going to have the ability to send a message directly into that queue using the normal tried and true storage SDK. So this is the storage SDK in effect, and this is what you have to do using Web Jobs to actually listen for a queue. Makes it pretty easy. So the first thing I'm going to do is I'm going to right click this guy, and I'm going to say, if I can find it, debug, start new instance, and that guy is just going to sit there and run. And hopefully I don't have any messages in that queue right now, because if we do, it's going to go ahead and write them all out for us. Once that app spins up, Web Jobs SDK is going to, you know, kick in. I'm going to begin to watch that queue, and it's going to be waiting for me to actually run my website. So what I'll do now is I'll debug this website and put this guy out here. I'm not deploying it, I'm just going to run it locally, but I'm actually going against a live Azure, you know, storage queue. So if I go to this puppy, and what you'll see here is that once this guy loads up, I'll actually be able to send a message. And I'll just click message here. I'll actually say hello from .NET Conf. I'll click send message. Oh, little debugging error there. Not a big deal. You'll see that I'm actually inside of my MVC action right here, waiting for me to hit F5. I'll go ahead and hit F5. The message is going to land in the queue. And just a second later, the web job is going to light up and it's going to see the message that I just dropped into that queue. So you could actually use this XC and you could publish this up to, you know, Microsoft Azure, and you would have this guy running directly up in the cloud for yourself right now. So I'll click F5 and you can see that in this console window, we're going to say hello from .NET Conf, which is exactly what we expected. Now, our team was talking and we thought, this is all well and good. You can do this from the portal, and the portal makes it really, really easy. But we like to do things within Visual Studio. So what we've done in our next wave of releases is that we've actually added the ability for you to do web jobs publishing directly inside of ES. So what I'll do here is I'll right click on my WAP, and I'm going to go over here to add. And you'll see, oh, I probably clicked the wrong button there. Now I've got all kinds of service reference guys in here. I'll do that one more time. I'll say add, and you'll see that we have two new menu items here. New Azure Web Job Project, or existing project is Azure Web Job. Now, if I were to select existing project is Azure Web Job, what I'm going to be able to do is I'm going to be able to look at the projects that I have in that solution, and I'm going to be able to select one that I want to publish out as a web job. One of the things that I'm going to want to publish out there is going to be any app that's enabled with the Web Jobs SDK. But more importantly, we know that you out there in the audience, we know that you have probably 100 different console applications that you run on a schedule in your own environment. We want to give you the ability to publish just a plain Jane console application directly out to Azure Web Jobs just by itself as an XE. So the first thing that I'm going to do is I'm going to associate this XE directly with my WAP, and then I'm going to show you a second piece of the demo if we have time. You'll see that this thing is going to pop open. It's going to give me the ability to select the project that I want, Web Jobs queues. I'd probably want that to run continuously if I wanted to run it on a schedule. Now, I don't want to run this on a schedule because I'm going to be watching a queue, and whenever I'm dropping a message, I'm going to want to, you know, just party on it. So I would actually select run continuously here. If I select run schedule, I could actually select my schedule here. If I wanted to make a recurring job, I could go ahead and I could say I want this to run every 6 hours, and then I would actually select my end date over here. If I wanted to run forever, I would just check this box. makes life pretty easy. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to do run continuously because I want that web job to just sit there and spin. And if I click OK, what we're going to do is we're actually going to drop in a couple of JSON files into your WAP project and into your web job project that's going to kind of glue this around our publish story. I've got a question from Andrea B. When would I choose web jobs versus work roles if simply processing items from Azure queues? They seem to address similar to the same problem set. They kind of do address similar to the same problem set, but you know, across the board, you can take a worker role and you can scale that out over 1,000 instances if you want to. So it's great for really, really, really heavy processing. And I'm not to discredit web jobs here. One day we're going to scale web jobs somewhat as well. But if you were to actually just have something that you need to run a nightly process, you want to clean up your logs, you want to optimize your images and that kind of thing, you can actually do all that. Maz Christensen and Syed Hashimi have actually written a web job that's actually out in Kudu, which I'll show you that as well. You could actually, the one that Mads wrote, it'll actually watch your file system, and whenever you put a new image up into your website, it'll actually optimize that image on the fly so that you make, better use of your, bandwidth. But these things are totally different at this point. Really, a web job is going to be for simple background processing directly inside of a website, and the work role, you're going to be able to scale that out infinitely and, go crazy with it. So if I open this guy up, you'll see that we've got a couple of JSON files right here. If I were to open these files up, you'll see that you can actually edit these files and change the functionality, and we've gone ahead and we've made use of the schema, JSON schema. So we actually help you kind of write those files if you wanted to change your publishing behavior for your web job and actually get it back out there. So if I were to right click my WAP right now and select publish, now I'm gonna go ahead and select Azure Websites real quick. I'll say new, and I'll say web job demo 42, because I've done at least 41 of them today. I'll go ahead and select a region. I'll do West US, select my MSDN guy. Sorry, I'll do West US here. I'll click create. Now, if I were to go all the way through the publishing step, I'm not going to go completely all the way through it right now because I'm completely out of time at this point. But if I were to go to the very end of this step right here and I click start preview, what you're going to see is a list of the exes and the, if those exes have supporting DLLs or config files, you actually see that what we're doing is we're putting those into app data, jobs, WAC continuous or WAC, triggered. We're going to put that up there for you. And through the magic of Kudu, which I'll show you right now, it's actually going to run those web jobs either, as you click the button manually or whenever you set up your schedule, it'll actually run it on a schedule. And I'm going to go ahead and save that because I want to publish it out later. The last thing that I'll show you real quickly before I leave you to the next demo, I'll go ahead to my Git Publish demo real quickly. Go to my dashboard here. And I'll click on browse. And what I want to show you is that we have this awesome list of site extensions that you can go to. Apparently there is a Cobra loose in the studio. And I want to point out what you have to do to get to Kudu. You can actually go right here to your site dot, azurewebsites.net, but instead put in SCM. And what's going to happen is we're going to load up this site extension list for you. This is surfacing up in the new portal as well. But you could do things like go to your debug console. Go to, click on PowerShell. You're actually going to have a live PowerShell guy right here in your browser. And if I wanted to iterate through files, I could actually iterate through files, click on the edit button, and actually edit the files directly inside of a editor right here on screen. So again, you have other options using Kudu to do stuff, and we have these site extensions things. Going to see more stuff popping up there. If I go to the gallery, it's kind of like NuGet. And there's the Azure Minifier that my good buddies Syed and Mads worked on. And that actually, save you some money on bandwidth. They've got a hook coming, so I'm going to have to get out of here. But I'm Brady Gaster. I hope you've enjoyed this. And I hope you, party on Azure Websites because it's a great tool. Thanks a lot. Have a great .NET Conf.